Well, it's a privilege to be here. It's a joy to be here at Gospel Grace Church. If you'll open up your Bibles to Colossians 2, we'll be there in a minute. It's a privilege. The pastors had asked me to share just a brief update about Gospel Peace Church. And I know many of you have been praying for us, and I just want to say thank you so much for praying. It means a lot to us, and the Lord is at work. Here we are talking this morning about missions means praying, and it's the God-ordained means He's given to us so that the gospel would go forth, and that lives would be changed. And so Gospel Peace Church, we started meeting in Logan, Utah, about a year ago, in June of last year. That's when we started meeting for some pre-launch services, and we had a lot of people coming and interested, and then in September of last year, we officially launched as a church, Gospel Peace Church. That's when the pastors and the membership kind of affirm each other, and so we launched on that date, September 19th, 2021, and let me just tell you, the Lord has been very kind. We had baptisms almost immediately. There's been a lot of opportunities for the gospel in many different areas of our valley, the Cache Valley. And as we were going up there, we thought there's a lot of like doors that seem to be opening up, or that doors that are just cracked open. And we're wondering, what is God going to do with these doors that are cracked open? Anyone going to swing open for us to serve in? We're praying that we'd be able to have a presence on campus at Utah State University. Go Aggies. Okay, a couple. Okay, good. Yeah. And so we're praying that way. We're praying a lot of different ways and for a lot of different opportunities. And the Lord has been opening up doors for us. And so praise the Lord. He's been so kind to open up a door with Utah State University. We have a good amount of college students when they're in town. Usually about 20 to 30 college students that are attending our gatherings. We usually have football players as well. The Lord has just swung this door open with opportunities with the football team at Utah State. The head coach normally attends, and the athletic director normally attends, and they invite us to come on campus with the football team. And, you know, many of you know Josh Longoria, who oversees FCA and Utah Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's the chaplain of the football team up there now, and he gets to speak there, gets to share the gospel whenever he wants. He'll call at the end of practice. The pastor will sometimes, the coach of the team. I'm the coach. No, wait. The coach will call either me or Josh up occasionally, and he'll just ask, anybody have any prayer requests? Whoever has a prayer request raises their hand, and he says, Josh, why don't you come up here and pray? Pastor Paul, he's at Gospel Peace Church, and if you want a ride, I'm going to meet you at 10:15 at the stadium, and I'll give you a ride to church. And it's just like amazing, this door that has just opened up. So if you would pray along those lines, we would be very thankful for that. Football season has started, and Josh was texting me this past weekend saying we might have 10 or more football players and a lot of new ones attending our service this morning, so praise the Lord for that. Another door that has swung open that you could pray for is, we have a crisis pregnancy center in town. So one of our members has been asked to be the director of the crisis pregnancy center. It's called the Center for Pregnancy Choices. And so two of our members are actively involved, are employees of them now. And that's just another opportunity that is, it's kind of a quiet ministry, you know. It's not out there, and, you know, because it's such a private matter sometimes when women are coming in and saying, I don't know what to do. And so they get to participate in this quiet ministry, and it's been fruitful. So praise the Lord for that. There's been some hard times, as probably most of you know. But even in that, the Lord is at work. Maybe especially through the difficulties that we faced. The pastors here at Gospel Grace and other friends and pastors that I know and our pastors know have been a huge help to us. So thank you, pastors here at Gospel Grace, and thank you for praying. And we're so thankful for this family of churches that we have, Gospel Grace and Gospel Hope and Gospel Peace, and Lord willing, more in the future. Well, keep praying for Gospel Peace. We've had a steady stream of guests come into our services each Sunday since Plant Camp was up in Logan. And during Plant Camp, we had an unusual amount of students attend. We had 170 people come into our valley, which I think we decided raised the population of Christians by 14% or something like that. So that's just encouraging in and of itself, right, to have other Christians around and like, wow, this is amazing. And they were able to hang about, I think, 24,000, might I have that right, Aaron? About 24,000 door hangers. And since then, almost every week, we have three or four family units come and say, we got a door hanger. And it's been on our fridge for a while, and here we are. And it's been amazing and a huge encouragement. So I thank you for all those who helped out with that. And just pray that people would come and hear the gospel and they would be connected to a loving church family. One other thing I'd like to share with you is, you guys wanted to plant a church in Logan, right? And you guys thought, let's plant a church in Logan and let's pray that people would come to know Jesus in Logan. We've been praying this way, and we thought it would take a long time. And we said, we're in it for the long haul. Well, this morning I've asked Michael to come up, if you want to come on up, Michael. Michael and Julissa have been attending Gospel Peace, and I just asked him if he wouldn't mind just taking a couple of minutes and sharing his story of grace with us as the Lord has been at work in he and his wife. So go ahead and share.
Morning. Yeah, Paul asked me to give our story of grace. I feel like it was a terrible idea to have me go right after all that music, singing about the gospel and what we really truly came to. And that whole buildup right there, he's really setting me up here. So I'll just read it for you. For our entire lives, my wife and I, religion was a part of our homes and our family lives. While being members of a different faith, we did all the things that was expected of us. We tried checking off every single box to the best of our abilities. We placed trust in ourselves and gave ourselves the full responsibility for our actions and everything that came with it. It was a never-ending battle of, are we good enough? Are we there yet? It seemed nothing ever worked according to plan with the life that was laid out before us of how we should be, and it made it very difficult within a works-based religion. One day we'd be the Lord's valiant, and another day we would feel unworthy to even utter a prayer for help. In hindsight, the Lord had worked upon our hearts for years prior to accepting him fully. With the decision to come explore Christian church, he used that experience to really make us internalize the differences in doctrine that we believed. Both of us found ourselves hungry for truth. We sought what really is, not what we wanted it to be. So we took the challenge to read through a few key doctrinal books in the Bible, such as John and Romans, with no lens, just to learn for ourselves what we thought the Bible was saying for ourselves. We tried to read as objectively as we could, coming from a faith that also claims the Bible to be scripture. We found ourselves reading an entirely different book than we had for our entire lives. We found the Lord constantly opening our eyes to more truth through scripture and the testimonies of other Christians from their own journeys. We felt a literal drawing to him, where even if we wanted to resist it, he grabbed us and wouldn't let go. We decided to catch up and to go 100% and put faith in a seemingly new God and decide to follow him fully based on the teachings that we started to understand in the Bible. We now understand that it is only through accepting Christ 100% that we are justified, and that it isn't him making up some additional amount beyond what we can do. Not only this, we learned that he will give us his righteousness as well, something that we don't deserve even in the slightest. We learned that works are not what save you, it is Christ, always. We learned that good works are a gift from God and will result from a true faith in Christ and his atonement, but they are not what saves us. These truths helped us see the love and the mercy that the Lord has for us. The Lord has been and continues to be so kind to us. He provided so many miracles in the first months of our conversion, things that are so astronomically improbable that they couldn't be coincidence. We saw puzzle pieces that were set aside for years finally come together in the culmination of us following Christ and his atonement 100%. Since then, we've come to trust Christ and his atonement completely instead of our own efforts. We've ultimately learned many things in our studies and our discussions with many of our church friends and family. Here's just a small list. Jesus makes up everything, not just a small portion that we're unable to. He gives us his righteousness on top of nullifying the debt of sin. He does this by grace, asking nothing of us other than to have faith in that sacrifice and follow him. That we're his and not one of his are lost. Nothing is outside of his control, and he is way bigger than we can comprehend. God provides and protects for his own. And probably Paul's favorite, and you'll probably hear it by the end of the day, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and that we can take trust in that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, it just so happened that Josh and Kathy Klum, many of you know, were members here for a long time. They were renting the Airbnb right above their location and entered into conversation and invited them to come to Gospel Peace Church, which is, it just so happened, to be at the exact right time as they're on their way back from their church gathering. And so they started attending our very first Sunday we met there, June 6th of last year. And the Lord has done an amazing work. And Lord willing, Michael and Jaleesa will be baptized next Sunday at Gospel Peace. So all glory to the Lord. This is what we've been praying for, isn't it? It's one of those that I think of as evangelism as a community project, right? So many people would text me one day and say, Michael and Jaleesa were at our house till 1 a.m. I think they're close. I would get that text occasionally from people. I was like, I didn't know you knew Michael and Jaleesa. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. But everybody was all in. We're praying. I know some of you even were praying for Michael and Jaleesa. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, we're going to look at the text this morning and with the remainder of time that we have together. And we're going to look at Colossians 4. If you hopefully you're already there. We'll look at Colossians 4. Let me read the text, then we'll pray together. Colossians 4, verse 2 through verse 6. Colossians 4, 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's pray together and ask for the Lord's help. Lord, we want your name to be magnified. This mystery that we've sung of, the mystery that is Christ in us. We want this message of Christ in us. We want that gospel message to be proclaimed from our neighborhoods into the nations. So would you do your work, Lord? Lord, would you open up for us a door for the word? Lord, would you open up our mouths to speak the truth with boldness? And Lord, would you open up hearts to change lives? Lord, that is your work. So we sow, we spread the seed of the word. And then we rest our head on the pillow of your sovereignty in this. And we can't wait for you to keep on working. Many of us have come this morning and thought, we've been praying for a long time for someone to come to know you. And we feel like it's hopeless. But would you please ignite this fire within us again for the sake of your name? We're jealous for your name to be honored in every home. For the sake of your name and for the sake of our neighbor, would you rescue a soul? So please work in us this morning. Please work in us this desire to be on our knees, begging the one who can change to make a change. Please do this right now, this morning, as we look to the word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as Michael said, we'll look to the word together because the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Well, you ever used a walkie-talkie before? Those are pretty fun. I thought they were so fascinating as a kid. I could talk to my brother on the other side of the house through a walkie-talkie, even though he could hear me without the walkie-talkie from the other side of the house. It's a pretty fancy contraption. But if you go outside and talk on the walkie-talkie when he can't hear you through the house, the walkie-talkie doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? You've been there before? Let's get walkie-talkies. And it's rated for 16 miles. Don't know how far that is, but we're going to try it. Doesn't work. Well, I had a friend who's in the Navy, and he was part of the Special Forces Navy, Navy SEALs, and he was part of the comms when there was a boat that was taken over. You've probably seen that movie, and. Well, when the Navy approached this boat, they thought, okay, this is a problem. We're going to start talking with this boat that's been taken over by pirates. So the Navy catches wind of this. Of course, the SEALs hear it right away. So they wake people up out of bed in Virginia Beach, where we came from. In Virginia Beach, they wake them up and say, it's time for you to go across the world. Okay, so they go. Well, by the time that boat calls for the Navy SEALs, they say, we need some help. We can't do this on our own on this ship. The captain says, bring in the SEALs. The SEALs' reply is, they're outside your boat and we'll be boarding in 20 minutes. That's communication. That's, when you think of like walkie-talkies, like that's a walkie-talkie. That's the kind of like, we need to call in some help, right? And that help is there. So if you've seen the movie, it works out. Good guys win, I think. Well, when we think of prayer, we need to be thinking of it as, one way that was put it, Piper puts it this way, John Piper puts it this way in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, in chapter 2. Very helpful chapter as you think about our connection. When we go out on mission, we need to be connected to where the power comes from. We need to be calling in help to the one who can save. Well, I heard one time from a pastor that he said this, if you want to preach a sermon that will convict everyone in the room, there's two topics you could preach on. You can either preach on prayer or you can preach on evangelism. Well, this morning, I get to preach on both. I get the privilege of burdening you with guilt. Shouldn't you be praying more, everybody? Yeah. Shouldn't you be evangelizing more? Yeah. All right, go and do it. Work harder. Be stronger. Well, I think of it this way. I get the privilege of encouraging you as a follower of Jesus to stay connected to the headquarters. And I get to encourage you to give people the good news. Don't you have good news for people? I want to do it in a way that gives you truth to believe, not just to make you feel bad. I want to show you that prayer is key to missions, to mission endeavors, the mission of God, to reach the nations with the gospel. It's the God-ordained means that the Lord uses to fuel missions around the world and in this valley, from our neighborhoods to the nations. And that's my hope, that you believe this in your heart and that you will pray earnestly for souls to come to Jesus. What a privilege for us to share the good news that has been given to us. When we connect prayer to missions, this is what we'll see. Three things this morning. One is prayer opens doors. Secondly, prayer opens mouths. And thirdly, prayer opens hearts. So number one, prayer opens doors. Lord, this is what we pray. We pray, Lord, give us a way. So often, when the Apostle Paul wraps up a letter, you probably noticed this in the epistles, when he wraps up a letter, there's usually a series of commands that come at the end. You notice this? Make sure you do this, and do that, okay? Well, it's kind of, it comes in like staccato form sometimes, just one after the other. And so we're asking, how is that related to the rest of the letter? How is it connected? And it's like, first, of course, we want to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then works and actions and commands come after that. But how is this related? How is it related to the rest of the letter? And we read this text, it sounds to me like this is what letters are made of right here. Would you just pray for me as I'm in prison? And look how Paul finishes this letter. He says in verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So after all that he's written to this church in Colossae, he wraps it up and says, pray. Continue steadfastly in prayer. One translation, the NET Bible, says it this way, be devoted to prayer. Or persevere in prayer. You see how this has this connotation of working hard in prayer. You ever find it hard sometimes to pray? Do you always pray with your mouth open? Drool coming down? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? After a long day or getting up early to pray. Here he's talking to a church. What if we prayed together? Work hard at praying. Don't stop praying. You've heard all this in the letter, and this is what it means to follow Jesus. And you've heard all throughout this letter that you need to be a person who changes, becomes more like Christ. Because you believe all these things to be true, you got to be praying. You got to fight to pray. And Paul here makes a specific request, though, about praying. See what he says there in verse 3? At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Okay, if you were in prison, what kind of door would you ask to be opened? right? Pray that God would open a door for the Word. He's actually more concerned with the Word advancing, the mystery, the gospel of Jesus Christ advancing, than he is about his exit from the prison. And why is he in prison? Because he's proclaiming the gospel. So pray that I'll be able to proclaim the gospel in prison, because that's why I'm in prison. Does that give a little more weight to the continue steadfastly in prayer? Oh, that we would all pray like this. Pray that there would be an open door for the Word. Lord, just give us a way. And prayer opens doors. Give us a way to meet our neighbors and share the good news with them. We actually have good news. Give us a way to have spiritual conversations with our coworkers and give them the good news. Turn conversations about work into gospel conversations. Is that the way we pray? Pray to the Lord that he would help you turn a conversation about, I don't know, accounting. Turn it from accounting to like life. Give me an open door, Lord. And praise the Lord that prayer opens doors. Many of you have been praying that more and more people would go to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news to people who have never heard the gospel. I remember reading a book once that said that there were approximately, I've heard 1.5 billion, I've heard up to 2.5 billion people in the world who are unreached and unengaged. You may have heard this. Unreached is a missiological term that refers to access to the gospel. They're unreached. It's not just someone that doesn't believe the gospel. It's about access. There's not enough Christians. So in other words, in this people group, so in other words, most people in this people group will be born, live a full life, and then die without ever hearing the gospel or having a chance to hear the gospel from a Christian, because there's not many or any. We'll say 1.5 billion are unreached and unengaged. Unengaged means there's no one trying to do something about it. I'm reading this book and thinking, what in the world am I doing in Virginia? People have access to the gospel all over the place. That caused me to be more engaged in the spread of the gospel in my neighborhood. Because get this, you don't know how the Lord's going to use a conversation in your neighborhood to reach the nations. We think we're like, here's the best strategy, we'll do this. What if you just talk to your neighbor and they happen to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody? Because they probably do. But praise the Lord that people from this congregation are being sent to the ends of the earth, are being sent to the other side of the world to proclaim the good news to people who have never heard. And when they go away, that's not where your praying ends, right? You're like, open up a door, and that's the door. It's the airplane, and you get there, and sweet, the door's open, you're good to go. Well, keep praying for open doors, right? Pray that the door will open, that there be a way for the gospel to be proclaimed there in Southeast Asia. We'd better be on our knees for Bree and for the Molders. We pray this way, Lord, give them a way. Give them an open door for the gospel. So many doors are closed in Southeast Asia. I mean, did you hear the way she had to talk? Some of those doors may open very, very slowly. I think of the work, the translation work that's going to have to happen. Translating the Bible into a language that does not have the Bible. What an opportunity. So keep on praying. Many of you have prayed And the Lord is using Gospel Grace Church to open doors for the gospel in places around the world. So praise the Lord. And thank you for praying for more churches to be planted in this state. Think of Gospel Peace Church. Think of Luke and Karen Bilesma. Are they here this morning? Maybe the next service. They're in Utah now. They just moved this week. Thank you for praying for a church to be planted in Logan, where the population is less than 1% evangelical Christian. But keep praying, as Luke says in Luke 18, pray and never give up. Or, put it this way, continue steadfastly in prayer. Prayer opens doors, but also prayer opens mouths. Lord, give us boldness, we say. Prayer opens mouths. Lord, give us boldness. Look at verse 3. Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Keep going. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Paul says here, I'm in prison because I'm sharing the gospel. I'm about to do it again. And if the Lord would just open up a door, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to keep sharing the gospel. I'm not backing down. He's in prison for sharing the gospel. He's going to keep on sharing the gospel. It seems like he's eager for his execution. What is he thinking? I'll tell you what he's thinking. He's got some really good news. He's in it for the Lord's glory, not his own. I want you to take a look at a parallel passage with me. Look at Ephesians. So just a few pages to your left. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Paul just gets done saying that we need to put on the whole armor of God in this war that we're in. This wartime kind of feel, wartime kind of mentality that Paul is portraying here. Now look at verse 18. I'm going to read three verses here. Look at verse 18. Just said, put on this armor of God. And then he says this. Okay, pause. I want you to look real quick. As I'm reading, just notice the amount of times he says pray or a word like it. Okay? Praying. When? At all times. It's a good start. In the Spirit. How should we pray? With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Sound familiar? For which I am an ambassador in chains. Sound familiar? That I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. See that parallels with our text this morning? Give us boldness, he says. Notice how many times he says prayer. Notice how many times he asks for prayer to be bold. Open your mouth. We shrink in fear too often, don't we? What are we afraid of in sharing the good news in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our classroom, with our friends? What are we afraid of? Paul here seems like he would be afraid of death. We here are probably most afraid of, I don't know, a sideways glance, loss of a friend, loss of a family member, communication, family member. It's tough. We actually need prayer that we would open our mouths boldly and speak as we ought to speak. Even if it means danger. Even if it means sacrificing safety for the sake of the gospel. Can I refer to that video again, Bree? It's not safe My favorite things to say is safety third. Well, what's first and second? Well, it's not first, okay? Safety is not first. That's the point. So pray for your pastors. And your pastors proclaim the gospel every week, right here. And you never know who's in the crowd. I don't even know who's in the crowd this morning that may not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm assuming there are some here. What a privilege for your pastors to be able to proclaim the gospel every single week. Do you pray that way for your pastors? Do you pray that way for your friends? Do you pray that way with your friends? With them? Is it awkward to pray with your friends? Is it awkward? Well, you may need to deepen that friendship a little bit more. Are you praying for your friends? If you're not, what kind of friend are you? You want your friend to change, and it's the work of the Lord. You want to be your friend to become more like him, it's the work of the Lord. You want your friend to be bold in proclaiming the good news. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer opens doors, prayer opens mouths, but also prayer opens hearts. That's what I've been referring to this whole time. Right? The Lord is the one who rescues. The Lord is the one who conquers. It's like you need the right person for the right job, right? The right person for the job. It's not just about our techniques in sharing the gospel. It's not just about our... You ever felt like in this evangelism curriculum or whatever, we're talking about sharing the gospel with somebody. It's like, it's not just about trying to corner somebody and with your arguments and saying, ha, I got you. Now you have to believe in Jesus. Ha ha. It's not that. You want them to love Jesus. I heard one pastor say, you're not trying to win an argument, you're trying to win a person. Wouldn't it make sense to pray to the one who opens hearts? Wouldn't it make sense to pray to the one who takes a spiritually dead person and revives their hearts? Wouldn't it make sense to pray to the one who can take a heart of stone that's just hard to the gospel and soften it into a heart of flesh? So we pray, Lord, give salvation. Open hearts. He is the one who works. Look with me at Colossians chapter 2. This is what he says in Colossians chapter 2. There's another parallel in Ephesians chapter 2 as well. But look at this in Colossians. Look at verse 13. This is what the Lord does. Verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The Lord needs to take a dead person and make him alive. I referenced Mark 4 in my prayer. Mark 4 is about this. I heard one person preach a sermon, it was called The Theology of Sleep. And he says, this sower sows the seed of the good news, of the word in Mark 4. Then he doesn't know how it goes in and works itself and starts coming out, but it does. He goes to sleep at night and wakes up and goes to sleep and wakes up and it starts working. So we proclaim the good news, and we pray, and we rest our head on the pillow of God's sovereignty. Maybe you're here today and you've not heard this good news before. You're wondering, what is this good news he keeps talking about? You've never decided to put your trust in the Lord alone. Never decided to trust the Lord with your life. Did you know that this text says in Colossians 2 that you have a mountain of sin debt that keeps you from God? You're dead because of this sin debt. And a debt, it's a debt you cannot pay. And the text says that this debt has a legal demand over you. You know what that demand is? Go to hell. The legal demand of sin against an eternal, holy, righteous God is eternal damnation. Separation from God. And without your sin debt being forgiven, you don't get God. The Lord, as he takes that debt, I like how he says it here. He set it aside. Sounds like kind of casual. Can I set it aside? The next phrase says, he nails it to the cross. Christ has died for your sins in accordance with the scriptures. And he was buried, and he's risen again in accordance with the scriptures. Your sin has been paid for. Do you believe it? Do you believe that all of your sin can be forgiven if you were to put your faith and trust in him? All of it, past, present, and future. Every sin forgiven. So that you get God. That's the mystery. Christ in me. But not only are your sins forgiven, you get a righteousness that's not your own. Oh, what good news we have. For people, lots of people think that if I just had enough righteousness, then I could get to God. If I could just go most of the way and God come the rest of the way. But our righteousness always falls short. And one sin keeps us from God. One sin. Let alone the hundreds, thousands, millions of sins that we have stacked up against us with a legal demand. But if you come to him today, all sin is forgiven. And you're clothed with a righteousness that's not your own. So that you get God. And when you die, you have him fully. Lord, give salvation. Do you feel the Lord calling you right now? I mean, that song we sang, I wish I could quote it to you, but I can't remember it. It's really good, though. Come, you sinners. If you just wait until you're better, you're not coming. If it was up to you to work harder to attain a certain spirituality, then you'd be good to go, you'd never attain that. So come with your troubles. Come with your sin. Give them to the Lord because he's nailed them to a cross. Place your faith in him. He will save you today. So Lord, give salvation is what we say. Turn hearts. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthian church? He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Praise the Lord. So that all glory goes to him. He gets the glory, not us. Finally, God wants to answer your prayers. You know that? Do you believe that God wants to answer our prayers? Notice Paul says something in Colossians that I kind of skipped over. You see that? In Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. What's that last phrase? With thanksgiving. You see that? He's already, I know you're going to work, Lord. So we come with thanksgiving. We come with our needs and our trials. One pastor said, you come with your needs before him, but you also come with a hymnal. And you sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. And you praise the Lord. And we say, Lord, whatever you want. Not my will, but yours be done. So pray, pray, pray. Pray that the Lord would open doors in your neighborhood and around the nations. Pray that the Lord would open your mouth. And pray that the Lord would open hearts. Let's pray right now to that end. Lord, would you work this deep into our hearts? Help us to be a people who are on our knees begging the one who can save to save souls today. So we look to you, Lord. We say, use us however you want. Help us to be bold, even if it means danger. Help us to open our mouths so that people would hear this good news that all of their sins could be forgiven and that they get a righteousness not their own. For people who are just striving hard in their own righteousness, what good news we have for them. Lord, would you open more and more doors? Would you open doors in our workplaces? Would you open doors in our neighborhoods? Would you open doors in our convenience stores? Would you open doors in our golf courses, in our places we like to go and have fun, on the hiking trails? Would you open up doors, Lord, in our neighborhoods? Would you also open up doors around the world? There are so many people who do not know the message of the gospel. And we want to see more and more people leave this church to spread the good news around the world, to nations that are hard to reach, to creative access nations. Putting safety down the list of what's important. Because your name, your renown is of utmost importance. So Lord, would you please work this in us? Would you please cause us to be on our knees together as family members, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as partners in the gospel for your name's sake? So Lord, please give us a way. Give us a way to share the gospel. Lord, give us boldness. And Lord, bring salvation. Keep on rescuing people out of darkness and into the light of your Son. Do that even today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.